your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Good day, and welcome to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence, with Reiki Master and host, Phyllis Lee Forimoto, as she shares with you inspiring stories along with her practical wisdom for finding balance with spirit in everyday life. Now, here's your host, Phyllis Forimoto.
Hello, this is Phyllis, and we're here today with Pamela Miles on Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Hi, Pamela. How are you today?
I'm well, thank you, Phyllis. And you?
That's great. Me too. Well, I'm just really excited that you're on the program, actually. And for you listeners, Pamela and I have talked about this for several weeks now, and we're just now getting it all together. So we're really happy to be here together. And Pamela, if I could just ask you a little bit about your Reiki story, like how did you meet Reiki, and how did you come, a little bit about your past, that would be really great to start out with.
Sure, I always love to share my Reiki story and my birth stories, but today I'll just talk about my Reiki story.
Okay.
But actually, they kind of coincide because I came to Reiki when I was pregnant with my daughter, who
is now
20, and I was in early pregnancy and, you know, very happy to be pregnant, but not feeling so well, nothing horrible, just the usual early pregnancy blahs. And a friend of mine had just taken first-degree Reiki the week before and said to me, you know, I've just learned Reiki, and if you like, I would like to give you a treatment. She said, I don't know if it will help you or not, and I don't really know what I'm doing, but it's not going to hurt you. And I, you know, I trusted her, and I was comfortable having her touch me. So I said, sure, and I laid down, and she put her hands on my head, and very soon thereafter, I felt cascades of subtle pulsations gently coursing in waves through my entire being. You know, I could feel it in my body, but I could also feel that it was an extremely subtle experience as well. And for me, it was the same experience that I have when I'm having a good meditation. By then, I'd been studying meditation and yoga for 20 years, and so my first experience of Reiki already had a context in my life for me to appreciate it and recognize it. The experience was very familiar to me. The practice, the way of accessing that experience, was completely new to me, and I just felt like, sign me up. I called her Reiki Master, and she had just finished a class, didn't have a class scheduled for a while, but I was like, must have it, you know, so she gave me a private class the next week, and I've been practicing ever since.
Wow, that's a great story. And I loved your poeticness. I don't think I've ever heard anybody describe a Reiki treatment quite like that. And I'm wondering, then, did you continue to receive Reiki treatments from her?
I did, you know, when I could, but mostly I practiced on myself. And because I was already meditating, Phyllis, I understood the value of the discipline of practice. You know, I couldn't benefit from meditation by reading about it or talking to other people about it or teaching my clients to do it. I had to sit every day to meditate. And so I understood that it was the same thing with Reiki. If I wanted to benefit from this, I needed to take the practice that I was taught and apply it with discipline every day. And I found the discipline so much easier than the discipline of sitting for meditation, which I also enjoy, that that was never a problem for me. Plus, I find the experience of Reiki to be enjoyable. I mean, at the very worst, it's boring, you know, but most of the time, it's really quite wonderful.
Uh-huh. Well, I've run through some of the little spaces of boredom myself in my practice, and what I realized when I get into boredom is that often I'm transitioning to another state of my practice. So I'm not quite in the old one, and I'm looking for a new one, and I'm just wondering, and the new one hasn't quite arrived yet, so I'm just wondering if that's your experience too.
You know, I never thought of it that way. I just have learned to take the boredom as a sign that I'm pretty solid. And to separate what is actually happening with a Reiki treatment from what I am experiencing, knowing that even though my ability to experience Reiki has, of course, you know, grown and become more subtle over the years, I still can't assume that I experience everything that's happening. So when I'm not experiencing anything, that would seem to indicate that what's happening is pretty subtle, and I take that as a good sign, you know, figuring that the things that we feel, like, you know, when there's belly gurgles or we feel pulsing or this, that they're fairly close to a physical level, you know, fairly gross changes that are happening, and we can be like, oh, wow, you know, this is so powerful. But actually, I don't think that is the really powerful stuff. I think it's surface. So when that's happening, I assume it's happening because that's my response to the Reiki treatment. That's what I need then, and that's fine, and it can be fun. But when it's not happening, then I assume, and this is just my interpretation, that there's something happening much deeper within me, much more subtle. So I tend to let myself get meditative and dive into it if I can. And sometimes, you know, I just can't. And then I usually do a shorter rather than a longer treatment. But I think that when I'm feeling a lot, it's because I need a lot. And when I'm not feeling so much, it's because certainly on a grosser level, I'm in pretty good shape. But that's, but I, as I'm saying this, I'm thinking about what you said too, and it also would make sense that when it's more subtle is when there is a transition taking place. So I'll watch for that.
Okay, great. Well, I was thinking also that there are times when it seems like Reiki's not working, and I just think that sometimes that feeling of Reiki not working is because we don't see what's happening. I use see in a very broad sense of the word, like see, feel, hear. And I always tell my students that when it feels like Reiki's not working, that's when I have to go deeper. That's when I have to really know that there's something happening and I'm not able to pick it up physically. So that's an interesting, another way of putting it, and I really like that.
Well, you know, it reminds me of something that, an insight that came to me once in a deep meditation, that it was when you don't hear the love song, maybe it's because it's your turn to sing. And so I think of that in my Reiki practice when I'm not hearing it or seeing it or feeling it, you know, that maybe there's something that I can either accept that because I don't have to. You know, it doesn't have to be about the experience. It's about the discipline for me. But if I want to experience something, then there's something for me to do, to open up, to go deeper, as you said, and connect with it.
Right. Well, Well, there's just so much that I want to talk to you about, and this is really great because I think that there are a lot of people who feel like if they receive a Reiki treatment, then they have to have some kind of physical indication that something's happening or that it's a kind of instantaneous kind of thing. And it's hard to explain to people that there are these different levels perception and different levels of where Reiki is going, and that sometimes you have to, it isn't to take it on faith, but it is to trust that the Reiki energy is doing something, but sometimes we just can't feel it. Would you say that's true?
Yeah. Yeah, and I would say, you know, if we're not ready to take it on faith, just suspend judgment. Just stay watchful. Just be mindful. Mm-hmm. We don't need to believe in anything. We can approach it like an experiment. We do our practice or receive our treatment, you know, however it is that we're accessing Reiki, and watch. Mm-hmm. Because for some people, it's right away on the table, wow, wow, wow. Interestingly enough, I find those people are not necessarily the ones who continue. They often then go to some other, you know, peak experience. And often the ones who don't feel it so dramatically right away are intrigued. And they do, you know, what you said. They start to engage and to watch it. And I always tell them, you know, there's the immediate experience. And then there's like a time release aspect to Reiki, as the healing that has been precipitated by the treatment continues to unfold.
And
that can, you know, be a matter of hours, or that can be a matter of months or longer.
Yeah.
I've seen some people get a lot of mileage out of one treatment.
Yeah, it's amazing, huh? And then others just don't connect. So do you feel like this connection thing? I always think that as a human being, we have the capacity to understand what really fits for us in that moment, like what touches us inside to encourage our healing process in that moment. And in one moment might be really different than another moment. So sometimes people come to Reiki thinking that this is their moment for Reiki, and it's not. And then maybe 3 years later, something else happens in their lives, and they say, well, I'm going to do Reiki again because this really feels like the right thing to do. And then something really amazing happens. Is that your experience also?
More or less, although I never figure that it's not their moment for Reiki just because they don't come back. What I've seen from people that I continue to have some contact with is that very often they may only do one Reiki treatment, but then they go to an acupuncturist, or they decide to sign up for psychotherapy, or, you know, they just start accessing healing in ways that were available to them before, but they weren't drawn to.
Right.
So the moment of Reiki helped open that up.
Mm-hmm. Well, Pamela, the music means that we're going to take a station break. So we'll be back very shortly with Reiki Balancing Form and Essence. This is Phyllis Furumoto. Until we come back from our station break.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Reiki in relation to religion, other disciplines, the government, mainstream medicine, you'll find the information in articles that appear bi-monthly in Reiki Magazine International.
Sharings, experiences, and questions from all over the world.
Taking out a subscription is easy. Go to ReikiMagazine.com and click on subscribe. Find your agent in the country where you live and pay online or by check. Online payments can be safely made on a secured page.
ReikiMagazine.com.
Create a life with growth, balance, abundant peace of mind, and joy. Tune in and call into Spirits Evolving with pragmatic psychic and certified hypnotherapist Lee Channing. By using the simple tools for growth offered by Lee, including intuition, color awareness, creative visualization, and more, build a stronger understanding of your own energy and offer clear, unencumbered energy to those with whom you share your life, whether for an individual or a business, home environment, or your office. Lee evaluates and interacts with the energy at hand, providing an analysis of the problem and a description of the options available to move forward successfully and with grace. Spirits Evolving with Lee Channing broadcast each Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the Seventh Wave Network, your online community for positive change. Spirits Evolving, your guide toward a life filled with more balance, intention, and contentment.
Tune into Inner Speak Soul Adventures Talk Radio Show every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 Eastern, and learn how to let go of your past and create the reality you desire and deserve, allowing your inner communication to take place more easily without the interference of our noisy mind chatter or your ego. Inner Speak Soul Adventures with Gene Adrian, right here on the 7th Wave Network.
The new home for visionary positive change. 7th Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, welcome back. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. And today I have with me a woman by the name of Pamela Miles, who has a great record of treating people, and we're going to get into her treatments in a moment. But my first question for you, Pamela, is to look at the word healing, because I talked about this in the last show, and I feel like this has been one of my really leading edges for myself, because I grew up with curing as a part of my vocabulary, and that meant, you know, going back to the way that I was, and the way that I was normal, and normal was being healthy. So that's kind of my linear equation, and to a place where healing is very much in the moment, accepting what's happening, accepting who I am, without needing to be perfect, and, you know, all these things. So it's really a change for me, and I'm just really interested if you, to hear what you have to say about these two words and their relationship, and maybe to talk a little bit about your own experience, if you have had any experience between these two concepts, healing and curing.
Well, this is something that comes up all the time because I work so much in medical surroundings, you know, either teaching or lecturing in medical schools or hospitals, or working with people who have been referred to me by physicians. Many times because they're seriously ill, although that's not my entire practice, but the distinction between healing and curing, between healing and cure, is really important. And one way we can look at it is that curing, to start there, is objective. And it involves an outside authority. We don't know if we're cured of a disease that we didn't diagnose. We have to have
good point.
We have to have an expert.
And I
think this is why I became a healer, because I was a professional healer before I learned Reiki 20 years ago, but I think I really had an authority problem. I just couldn't accept that somebody outside there would know more about me than I did.
Uh-huh.
Not that I knew so much, when I was that young, but this whole thing of believing in an objective reality as the end point, as the most important aspect of our lives, that's what cure is. And healing is turning that inside out, and that's not to say that they're mutually exclusive, because of course we love it when they both happen simultaneously. But healing is totally subjective. Only I know if I am healing. There's no test. There's no outward validation. I have to make that decision, which means I have to take responsibility for my wellness and well-being and for the choices that will enhance that. Cure is not always available, but healing is always available. And that's true even as people are dying. I mean, perhaps my favorite work is in hospice, because never is the spirituality, the inherent spirituality of a human being and of Reiki practice so up front and center as it is when someone's dying. And I see that, you know, sometimes the greatest healing a person can accomplish is peace as they transition, and for the family, a sense of the timeliness, of the rightness that's bigger than right and wrong.
Well, that's a great way to differentiate between the two. Wonderful. Very clear. And do you find that Reiki can, should I say, promote or stimulate both of these conditions, or
yes, is there
something in Reiki, in using your own definition, that I'm just wondering, well, is it possible to be cured by Reiki? Because is there, you know, that's my question.
Yeah, I would never want to say that anything is impossible. Nor would I ever want to bank on one thing. You know, my vision of Reiki is pretty grounded, but it's also very expansive and subtle. And I don't think that there is a scientist who would argue that helping somebody heal would increase their likelihood of cure, if cure is possible. I rarely work with people who are just doing one thing. And maybe I could say, you know, when I'm working with somebody who is facing a serious health challenge, I never work with somebody who's just doing one thing. And if I were to face a health challenge, I also wouldn't choose to do one thing. You know, I would look to see what are the sources in my life that can nourish me, and Reiki would, of course, I would be having that conversation with myself while I had my hands on myself, giving myself Reiki for sure. You know, that's a given.
But we
don't have to be exclusive.
And this brings me to another question that I have that pops up for me. People often ask me, well, what's the difference between giving myself Reiki and receiving Reiki treatment? And what I've found is that when, as I give myself Reiki daily, then it kind of builds this foundation. But when I'm in a crisis, you know, like a sort of healing crisis, I would say, whether it's emotional or physical or spiritual, even possibly, then the best thing that I can think of doing is to go to someone and get a Reiki treatment, because somehow it makes a difference just being the treatee. And I'm wondering how you would express that, and if that's your experience also.
I would say that you probably have a lot more opportunity to receive Reiki treatment from others than I do.
You
know, I often have to press my daughter into service. My daughter, Hannah Grace, who loves to say to me, Mom, I've been practicing as long as you have. She started intrauterine. But,
right.
And so I don't always have the option to get a Reiki treatment from somebody else when I would like to, but I do know many fine healers, and I seek out healing. You know, I take very good care of myself. So because I don't have that access to other people's hands and being able to just, you know, lie back and let somebody else take care of me in that particular way, I have had to dive into my own practice.
Mm-hmm.
And what I can say very honestly, and I don't think this is about me, I think this is completely about Reiki, that I've had some of the most extraordinary healings in my life through my own Reiki hands.
Uh-huh.
So I know that Reiki is there no matter how I access it, and the experience on that level is the same, but there is a different component that's unique to self-care and unique to receiving from someone else. There is that sense of being cared for, that connectedness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's irreplaceable. If I had to choose between one or the other, I guess I would always choose self-treatment because I always know where my hands are and I can get to them. But that would be the only reason. I don't think that they do replace each other.
Definitely not. What's interesting for me is, I guess that one of the things, maybe this is what started my passion about talking about public practice, is because, you know, when I'm traveling, what I would love to be able to do is have this little list of people who really do Reiki treatments, what I would call professionally or at least publicly, so, and that are trustworthy to give me a treatment that is really something that I'm familiar with and also something that is what I would call on a professional level, somebody that really knows and has had lots of experience in working with people and in making a safe space for people to receive Reiki treatments. And I know that you're also involved, I think, in public practice and professional practice.
Yes, I am, and
there's
we can talk
the music.
About that soon.
Yeah, there's the music. So guess what, listeners? This is what we're going to come back to is Pamela's experience of being a public and a professional practitioner, and often in the medical system. So we're going to go away for a commercial break and a station identification and come back with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. This is Phyllis Furumoto. Until then.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Reiki in relation to religion, other disciplines, the government, mainstream medicine, you'll find the information in articles that appear bi-monthly in Reiki Magazine International.
Sharings, experiences, and questions from all over the world.
Taking out a subscription is easy. Go to ReikiMagazine.com and click on subscribe. Find your agent in the country where you live and pay online or by check. Online payments can be safely made on a secured page.
ReikiMagazine.com.
The Unity Radio Hour, more than a radio show. The Unity Radio Hour is leading-edge spirituality, which will help you discover new ways to enhance your life, your relationships, your career, and more. Plan to spend every Wednesday afternoon with your host, Mindy Ockling, for the Unity Radio Hour, broadcasting live on the 7th Wave Network at 12 p.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Central.
Get ready to embark on a 13-week journey to discover how you can maintain a positive philosophy in your life to bring out your true potential in all areas of your life. Begin today, and host Mark Johnson will help you make it available for tomorrow. Tune in every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the Seventh Wave Network.
Experience higher love, an archangelic journey into ascended joy and authentic living.
Your hosts, Sri Ram Ka and Kira Ra, will assist you to open your heart, expand your love, and be ever-present with true joy.
Your journey with Sri and Kira begins right here on the Seventh Wave Network with Higher Love, Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis, and I'm back with Pamela Miles on Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. So, Pamela, the question that I asked just before break, let me see if I can recapture this, is that we were talking about treatment and receiving treatment from others, and I'm really longing to have a sort of directory of professional Reiki practitioners. And there's a lot to this. It doesn't mean I make a really big difference between what I call the folk art practice, which is something that I teach and something that students do in the course of their own student practice, to something that really takes on more professional quality, which is, you know, looking to interface with the medical community, with insurance companies, to writing case notes, to you know, having professional demeanor and having additional training besides the usual first and second degree and even master's degree of our practice, and so on. So I'm just really interested in hearing your articulation of this and also some of your experiences.
Well, I completely,
take it away, Pamela.
I completely agree with you about preferring to receive Reiki from people who are seasoned and aren't placing their hands with any kind of performance happening in their minds. You know? And I love that the foundation of Reiki is a folk art practice and a lay practice, and it's a lifestyle, and I want to strengthen that, but that doesn't seem to be in need of strengthening. That seems to be going very well. The public practice, as you articulated, does need support, and I hear from Reiki practitioners that they want the mentoring, and so increasingly, although, you know, I do have first degree classes and my private students, but more and more I'm teaching people who are already trained, who are already practicing Reiki, about clinical skills, about, you know, what they need to know in terms of medical protocols and, you know, how to speak to medical professionals. And, I mean, there's so many facets. I'm giving a weekend course on this at the Open Center in New York City the first weekend in October.
Great.
And, you know, so sometimes it's short, like a few hours. Sometimes it's longer venues. But and also mentoring people, both students that I've trained and students who have been trained elsewhere and sometimes who are already healthcare professionals, but realize that they need some support. So I have a form that they fill out after their treatments, and they send to me, and I review them, and I ask questions, and I make comments, and, you know, alerting them to places where they might wind up in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I do this, and the more I practice, and my public practice actually started just a couple of days after I learned Reiki, because, as I said, I was already a professional healer. So I was already in clinical practice, and it was very easy to insert Reiki into that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what I find, and the, I think the most important thing that I have to share with any Reiki student who wants to go into public practice, is the necessity of daily self-treatment.
Mm-hmm. That's great. That's great advice.
Because it's only through meeting with Reiki and oneself every day, day after day, whether you feel like it or not, that you enact your conviction. And you
mm-hmm.
can get to a place where
mm-hmm.
you can place your hands on someone, you know, certainly
mm-hmm.
wanting them to benefit, but also knowing that they will benefit and
mm-hmm.
that it's out of your control.
Mm-hmm.
The only
mm-hmm.
thing a Reiki practitioner can control is her clinical skills.
Mm-hmm.
You know, develop a relationship, an appropriate relationship with the person you're treating.
Mm-hmm.
Know what to say, what not to say.
Mm-hmm.
And let go when they walk out the door.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I find, only comes with practice on oneself.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's really
mm-hmm.
enacting conviction.
Mm-hmm. Great advice. Great. So, can you share with us a little bit about your own practice? Like, it feels very, I'm very curious about how you, I don't know if you can tell a story about how you got started, because maybe that's not appropriate, but how you got started in working with the medical profession and so on. I know a lot of listeners are very fascinated by this juxtaposition.
Well, it came out of the AIDS epidemic. It was really
mm-hmm.
early in the 1990s. You know, the gay community in New York City, I live in Manhattan, live and work in Manhattan primarily, and the gay community here was decimated, absolutely
mm-hmm.
decimated by this disease. And it was before the advent of the protease inhibitors, so there was very little that conventional medicine could do for people
mm-hmm.
who were HIV positive,
mm-hmm.
other than try to treat opportunistic infections and try
mm-hmm.
to make them comfortable. And there's
mm-hmm.
an organization in New York called Gay Men's Health Crisis that was a very early advocacy and services nonprofit organization.
Mm-hmm.
And a student of mine became, I think he was the recreation director there. I think that's how we got in under recreation. Well, Reiki is fun. And so he asked me if I would want to teach there. And, in fact, I had been longing to teach Reiki self-treatment to
mm-hmm.
people with AIDS for a long time, not because I had any friends, you know, who were dying of AIDS, but
mm-hmm.
just because it came from my heart. And
mm-hmm.
so that was my entree, and the classes went very well. The doctors who were treating the students noticed differences in them, and word got around, and I was invited to be part of what I think was probably the first complementary therapies program at an inner-city outpatient AIDS clinic.
Wow, great.
And so, you know, I mean, it took about a year to set it up. People don't realize how slowly these wheels turn. But once I was in medicine, once I was in hospital, doctors kind of came out of the closet, to mix metaphors here, asking me, you know, they would pull me aside in the hall and ask me about Reiki and about this and about that. And you know, again, this was like by then, the mid-90s, very different medical situation than what we have now. No one would have ever guessed that medicine could change so much in 10 or 12 years. So then, you know, everybody thought, oh, doctors, they're really opposed. They don't believe in this, like that. And what I found was that doctors were very interested in anything that might help their patients.
Mm-hmm.
But they understood that there was a real cultural divide here. It was as if we were speaking different languages, and they knew that they didn't know how to find and identify good practitioners. And, you know, doctors are entrusted with the safety of their patients. So this is a real concern, how to find a credible practitioner. And then if they were in front of one, they also understood that they didn't know how to talk to that person. They didn't know what questions to ask. So they started, I would train the patients in the hospital, and the doctors would come to my private classes. By private classes, I mean the ones in my space that weren't in institutions.
Right.
And they would learn to practice on themselves and start integrating Reiki into their practice, because anybody who touches someone as part of their licensed healthcare practice who is Reiki trained, you know, the potential for Reiki to activate in one's hands is there from the time you receive your initiation. So then it was a matter of, you know, just seeing how it would show up for each doctor, you know, to develop that. And some of them are more upfront about it than others. Some of them use it primarily for themselves, which I think is wonderful. And some of them use it for themselves, but also actively bring it to patients. Not in full treatments. You know, it takes too much time. Doctors don't have that kind of time. But what they can do is place their hands and give their patients a taste and interest them in pursuing it, and then make referrals. Or use, you know, a few moments of Reiki touch to help center a patient who's in pain, who's distraught, who's just gotten bad news and now needs to make some decisions, or at least needs to be able to hear what else the doctor has to say. So in many ways, doctors are finding that Reiki helps the delivery of conventional medicine. And I've had a number of physicians tell me that one reason why they came to me to learn to practice was because they heard so much about Reiki from their patients, and they noticed that once patients started using Reiki in whatever way they were accessing it, everything else started working better. One doctor said Reiki primes people for healing, and I think that's a wonderful and very accurate way to express it.
That's great. That's great, because, you know, there are all obviously a lot of people who have assumptions about doctors and about the medical community as an entity, and it's not been my experience, actually. My experience is more like yours, although it's much more grassroots. I've gone in to hospitals and treated my friends and family with Reiki, and they've had some astounding results, and the doctors come out and say, well, what are you doing, and I'm interested. And even though they may not be believers, and that's totally okay for me, they realize that there's something happening. And I find that quite wonderful. My dad was a GP. I don't know if you knew that.
Yes,
he
I
was,
did.
And, you know, what he said once was, he said, well, you know, the people, sometimes he said, I to be general, the people who should live often don't, and the people who shouldn't survive do. And he said, so I just have to do the best I can. And he said, when I saw your grandmother working with people, that's what happened. Quite often, the people who, you know, it really made a difference in people's lives. And he said, I can't deny that. So that was really beautiful for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, we're back to our last station break. So we're going to come back with Pamela Miles. I'm not nearly finished with our conversation, so I'm going to have to ask her if she'll come back. But meanwhile, we're going to take a station break and go to commercials. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
Reiki in relation to religion, other disciplines, the government, mainstream medicine, you'll find the information in articles that appear bi-monthly in Reiki Magazine International.
Sharings, experiences, and questions from all over the world.
Taking out a subscription is easy. Go to ReikiMagazine.com and click on subscribe. Find your agent in the country where you live and pay online or by check. Online payments can be safely made on a secured page.
ReikiMagazine.com.
The Waking Dream is a wake-up call to those who are finally ready to change the direction of their lives and the quality of their experiences. Join host Barbara Emrys every Tuesday evening at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern for your wake-up call. That's The Waking Dream on the 7th Wave Network.
Improve your spiritual well-being and experience a new way of looking at spirituality and wellness. Tune into Spiritual Evolution with spiritual counselor, healer, and animal communicator, Kelly Marie. Each week, Kelly and her guests explore spiritual problem solving and connecting balance between the body and spirit. Spiritual Evolution with Kelly Marie, broadcast every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the 7th Wave Network, your online community for positive change. Spiritual Evolution, expanding the boundaries and broadening the vision of spirituality through inspiration and education.
Attention swimmers, get out of the water!
Dude, Sam, it's a pair of thunder thighs. Big ones, too. That mom who's been swimming a lot with her kids must have lost them.
Whoa, I heard about this happening once up at Laguna.
Small step number 54. Play with your kids. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to get healthy. Learn more at www.smallstep.gov.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence, and I have the pleasure to be talking with Pamela Miles. She lives in New York City in Manhattan. I've never been there. I guess I should. And just before our station break, Pamela and I was talking, I think, about going into a hospital and doing it kind of grassroots, in the sense of treating my family and my friends and having some really great response from the medical staff and doctors. And she, during the break, said that she had a couple of things that she'd like to share with the listeners. So, Pamela, you're on.
I want to encourage anyone who practices Reiki and has an opportunity to go into hospital or nursing home or hospice and offer Reiki treatment to a friend or a family member to do so. And I have just two little pieces of advice. The first is to just do your treatment. Be matter-of-fact about it. Practice Reiki and say very little. Don't try to explain it. Don't get into the words. Just do the practice and let Reiki speak for itself. And then secondly, when staff members come forward and ask questions, avoid feeling defensive. This is actually a good thing. They're probably asking because they're intrigued and they want to know more. So you might want to think about in advance, to think about how you would answer the question, well, what is Reiki and what are you doing, in the simplest language, kind of like the way you answer a kid who first asks about sex. You know, you really want to look at their age and their level of understanding and just give them what they're asking for. Don't get real elaborate.
Great advice. Very good. And I hear that we have a caller online, and her name is Pam, and she's from California. So let's take the caller.
Hi, Phyllis and Pam.
Hello.
Hi.
I wanted to make a comment on something that I heard Pamela say in your broadcast and share my experience with it, and that is how great it feels to have a seasoned Reiki practitioner working on you, and it's certainly been my experience that when new practitioners are enthused about Reiki, oftentimes their perceptions can get in their way. My experience and what I want the public to know is that, one, we know Reiki can do no harm, and that it's really, in my experience, the energy is the wisdom treating the person. And despite a practitioner's perceptions, the Reiki, whether it's from a brand newly initiated level one practitioner or a 30-year seasoned Reiki master, it's been my experience that profound healing is taking place from both of those levels. And that's what I wanted to comment on. I'm a Reiki master here in Los Angeles, and I know that some of my practitioners that are newly initiated, my goodness, they'll lay their hands on a co-student in the class, and it's almost as if they've been doing this for many lifetimes.
Well, I completely agree with you, Pam. You know, when we practice Reiki, no matter how much experience we have or we don't have, no matter how much understanding we have or we don't have, we're connecting with the same, you and Phyllis used the word energy, I use the word vibration or pulsation or consciousness. And even though each practitioner has his or her own personality and delivery style, we can say, there should be something that we feel in common from one Reiki practitioner to another.
Absolutely, and I particularly feel that with the Usui-trained people in the lineage of Phyllis and those before her. The commonality just in speaking either by phone or at conferences is the awareness of that commonality of the energy and the vibrational consciousness, as you call it, is it's so striking. It certainly can't be denied, that's for sure.
And I think that your comment about new practitioners and seasoned practitioners also relates to what we were speaking about before, the lay practice, the home practice, and public practice, because as I mentioned, my first experience of Reiki was from a friend who'd been practicing about 7 days.
Right.
And it sure worked for me. You know, it was all I needed. But I wasn't paying her. I knew her. You know, we had a relationship. It only happened because I was comfortable being close to her. But if someone is going to a Reiki practitioner who has hung her shingle up and said, you know, I am a Reiki expert, then we have a different set of expectations. And I think the professionals, people who present themselves as Reiki professionals, have a different level of responsibility. And since the skills of professional practice are not taught in any Reiki class, because Reiki classes at all levels are about how to practice, if we want to be professionals, we need to get that education. And that's something that I'm working on. I have created a curriculum for a 2-year training program for Reiki professionals.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think also, I agree with much of that. I want the public to be aware that, you know, someone who's like a physician, when he's gone through medical school and hangs out his shingle, he has a certain level of experience, and those patients that are drawn to that person are there for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't want the public to only think that they should go to someone who's been practicing, even with a professional practice. that someone who's only been practicing for 25 years and everyone should go to a Reiki master, and that's the only place that they can get help.
I completely agree with you. I'm always telling people first degree is all most people need. And a lot of hospitals, you know, they want to have only Reiki masters practicing there or only second degree. And I'm always saying this is not necessary. You know, you don't understand that these are different scopes of practice. A second degree practitioner is not necessarily a better practitioner.
Bravo, bravo.
Okay, girl. Well, I'm going to have to break in because we're about ready to break out of this program.
Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks. Yeah, no problem. Thanks for calling in. Good point. And, listeners, I haven't even gotten to ask my primary question that I wanted to ask Pamela before she came on the show. So, she's hurriedly looked at her schedule and said that she could be with us again next Thursday. So next Thursday it is with Pamela Miles, Part 2. Thanks, Pamela.
Thank you, Phyllis. Till then.
Till then. And this is Phyllis Furumoto with Balancing Reiki Form and Essence. And we're going to be back next week with Pamela Miles, and the very first question I'm asking her is, what is Reiki? And look out for her answer. We had a long conversation about this on the phone before, and it's going to be a doozy. I can't wait. So, take care, and we'll see you next week.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's episode of Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Be sure to tune in every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the 7th Wave Network and discover how you can find balance from within.